At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Hey everybody, it's CJ Graham, Jason Voorhees, Friday the 13th Part 6. How are you? Hey, I got a big question. People have been asking me, do I prefer Friday the 13th or Halloween? Well, real men use a machete, not an Outback steak knife. Does anybody have any questions?
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the Pot of Thunder and Halloween. And guess what we have to get the spookiest weekend of the year started? A double shot of Halloween laughs from the one and only Duff McKagan and the much anticipated joke of the week.
Hey everybody, it's Duff McKagan. Hope you're doing well. Chris Jericho and everybody out there listening, happy Halloween. Listen, why are there walls around graveyards? Because people are dying to get in. Thank you very much.
All right, that's a pretty good one. Let's see if Duff's second offering delivers.
You know what the cow at the cold said? Boo. Thank you very much.
Oh, man. Maybe we should have started with that and ended on a high note. I think it would have made sense since it's Halloween if you said, what did the cow on Halloween say? Boo. Or what did the ghost cow say on Halloween? Boo. Or what did the monster cow say? Boo. Maybe that would have worked out better, but either way. Thanks to Duff, and happy Halloween to you. And a big thank you for joining us here today as the second installment of the Halloween week. We did the Paul Lynde Halloween Watch Along on Wednesday. And, of course, tonight we have this franchise versus franchise, the classic franchise clash, I guess you'd say. But first, before we get into it, thanks to everyone who checked out Fozzy's brand new single, Spotlight. It's been awesome to play live on the Spotlight in North America tour. We're doing it up this weekend for Halloween, so come get your rock and your scaring with us. We've got Fozzy Fear Fest in Lincoln, Nebraska tonight on Friday. We got Fozzy Fear Fest in Sioux Falls, South Dakota tomorrow night and Saturday. We're making sure to take great advantage of Halloween weekend. Wear your best costumes to the show, and we will choose a winner, and you'll win a meet and greet with Fozzy. Minneapolis is on Sunday night, Fargo on Monday night, and this tour wraps up November 6th in Memphis, Tennessee. And of course, we're doing our famous VIP meet and greet. It's the best of the business. We meet you, take pics, play a private set for you, even let you sing. Go to FozzyRock.com to see all the dates and all ticket information. And guess what? Fozzy's coming back to the UK as well. Spotlight on the UK kicks off February 16th in Newport, Wales. Tickets to the shows and the meet and greets available now also at FozzyRock.com. All right, the Talk is Jericho Halloween week spooktacular continues today with Darcy, the mail girl from The Last Drive-In on the Shudder Network. It's tradition to have Darcy on the show on Halloween. This is her fourth annual appearance. And this time we're doing a classic movie franchise clash of sorts. That's what I was trying to say earlier. It's franchise versus franchise as we pit Halloween versus Friday the 13th against each other to see which one comes out on top. We're doing the first five installments of each franchise, and I promise we've got loads of trivia and info about the writing, directing, and the actors involved, including Kevin Bacon and Dana Carvey. Did you know that? Darcy and I are also sharing our favorite kills and death scenes. We also got a lot of our famous friends to weigh in on which franchise is their favorite. I think Darcy was biased. All she got were people that were in Friday the 13th movies. So, of course, they're going to pick Friday the 13th. But I was able to combat that with a lot of Halloween, pro-Halloween quotes. So I think we're going to have some interesting responses on whose franchise is their favorite. And we're going to put a poll up tomorrow and see which is your favorite. So it's Halloween versus Friday the 13th. And it's starting now with a vote from my director on Terrifier 2 and the screenwriter, the genius, Damien Leone. Let's go!
So that's a tough one, man. I love both for different reasons. But over the years, I'd say I revisit Friday the 13th more. At least I watch more installments in that franchise. But the original Halloween is my favorite slasher. I think it's the greatest slasher ever. And the atmosphere in that is just unmatched. So I think I give the slight nod to Halloween as the superior franchise, but Jason is still my favorite slasher.
All right, so it is the fourth installment of the Chris and Darcy Halloween extravaganza here on Talk is Jericho. I believe year one was the top 10 favorite horror movies.
Yeah, just in general, I think.
In general, yeah.
Yeah.
Two was best kills that we thought. And three was threequels, right?
Today, always covering the important topics.
The important topics, right? And coming up with original ones. So here today on Zoom, we are doing people that listen to Talk is Jericho know the classic album Clash, where we do two albums by the same band and debate them, discuss them. We're kind of going to do that with franchises today of Halloween versus Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Which by far the two biggest, you would say, you think?
I mean, some would say Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right.
Some would say Pumpkinhead.
You would say
I would say Pumpkinhead.
I think probably if you're going to go with the big four, I think it's these two, Elm Street, and then probably maybe Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I think so. Maybe Hellraiser. But it's definitely those three, for sure.
Those three for sure. Then.
But since it was Friday the 13th and Halloween this month, it's like, which one do you celebrate? You know what I mean?
Right.
I was conflicted on Friday the 13th because it was October.
That's pretty rare that there's a Friday the 13th during the Halloween season.
So it's like, which holiday do you observe at this time of year?
Well, I don't follow Friday the 13th because I have Parascavata catrophobia.
Do you actually?
Well, I mean, I have wrote a song about it.
But is it true?
Well, no, I never even heard of it. So
okay.
I read about it in some magazine.
I was
or something.
About to feel bad for you. I'm like, should we be talking about it then?
It's like the best. I wrote it as the best song that Iron Maiden ever wrote, and nobody could ever figure out what it was. But
can you add a clip to it so people know what you're talking about?
Yeah, I could do that. Parascavata catrophobia. What does it all mean? Friday the 13th. Yeah, that's the lyric. But
lyric. Nice.
So we're talking about Friday versus Halloween, and obviously based around Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers. A lot of kind of like Halloween started a couple years before Friday did, but a lot of similarities between the two killers.
I don't see any similarities. Jason is his own unique character. How dare you?
Well, let's just talk about that. Because Michael Myers murdered his little sister, and Jason, well, I guess he was murdered by counselors. How does he become Jason?
Counselors were fornicating,
right?
And he drowned as a child, and his mother in the original is the killer.
Right.
Somehow he drowns as a kid and comes back as a man. Don't ask questions.
Right. You can't ask questions in any of these movies because these guys keep coming back over and over again. That becomes part of the lore of the movies, right?
Right.
But the thing that's funny, though, is when you're talking about these films like 70 and 80, we're now in 2023, and these types of characters and movies are just part of the zeitgeist. Whereas, like, I always use Metallica as an example. Like, now people play Metallica, like, at hockey games. When Metallica first came out, like, there was nobody faster than Metallica. They were faster than Motorhead. They were heavier, and nobody played like them. They created a whole new genre. Same with these two movies. Like now it's like, oh, the supernatural slasher killer. Like there was no such thing as these things before, as these types of characters.
Well, you could argue like Frankenstein came back and, you know, things like that.
But I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, originally you're thinking that they're human beings. Like Frankenstein was created in the lab, but Jason, like you said, was a kid and Michael Myers was a kid.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know what
I mean? Okay.
They grow up and then become these killers and then get stricken down and they continually come back to life.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that they used to be the scariest thing ever. Like when I was growing up, like, I couldn't sleep for years after just seeing the commercials. And now they're like at Party City.
That's what I'm saying.
Wallpaper of Michael Myers and Jason. It's for kids now, which kind of breaks my heart, actually.
That's my point. It's like seeing, you know, hearing Seek and Destroy at a hockey game. Where it's like Seek and Destroy was like the heaviest.
Too hardcore for hockey.
You can't even play that in a hockey game. But
apparently you can.
But that's a great point. I think apparently you can have Party City with the masks.
Jason kids' birthdays.
Yeah. Now, I think another big difference between the two, and once again, we're gonna deal today with the first five movies of each installment.
I feel we should have added all of them, but I understand time constraints. That would be a long, long pod.
Okay, but once again, you know, Friday continues okay for the next two. I think the Halloween falls off a cliff after 4.
It breaks my heart to not mention 6 of Friday, because that one's just well, we can, so
we can
good.
Do, we can do an honorable mention. But,
okay,
but listen,
honorable mention.
It breaks my heart to mention Halloween 6.
Okay. Unless you've seen the producer's cut. It's not as bad.
I haven't seen the producer's cut. Nobody has, because no one's seen the damn movie. So
but wow.
We'll talk more about that as we get there.
Send Chris your angry messages, not me, please.
Another thing, too, about these films is the iconic masks, of course. But there's some differences in this, because Michael Myers was Michael Myers right out of the gate, right? Like from movie 1 to movie done, he's Michael Myers.
Movie done.
Yeah.
Nice.
Friday is different because Jason Voorhees is not the killer all the time. He did not, contrary to popular belief, have a hockey mask right out of the gate. You know, we'll talk about kind of the addition of that sort of thing. So it seems like there was a little bit more of an evolution of the Jason character than the Michael Myers character.
Agreed.
Okay.
But I feel like we're going to cover that as we break it down. So
well, exactly.
We'll get into it.
Well, we will get into it. And just like another couple of things is, and Halloween as well, right in the middle of these first 5, takes a completely left turn.
Ew.
And goes into, you know, we'll discuss the reason why, a movie that has no Michael Myers in it, which if you once again took this movie at face value and didn't consider it part of the Halloween franchise, some people that bury it might like it better.
Agreed. Long story short, give Halloween 3 a chance. That's what we're saying.
All we are saying is give Halloween 3 a chance. So yeah, we'll kind of talk a little bit more about how we got into these movies when we first started hearing about them. But I think we should go kind of in the classic album clash style. We're going to go movie by movie. And we're going to start with Friday 13th, part 1, versus Halloween, the original.
Okay, that's just not fair, though.
we're not going to like say, well, why is it not fair?
Well, shush. The first Halloween is just masterpiece.
Yeah.
And the first Friday is wonderful as well, but it's not as groundbreaking as Halloween. It's very hard to compete with that.
Agreed, but I think that we should give the Halloween, the original, all of its props, because as the time moves on, things kind of change a bit. But let's talk about this. Like, when did you first hear about Halloween, and how did you kind of get into this whole?
So if I'm being honest, it's from Scream.
Wow.
Yeah, I watched Scream and they were so obsessed with Halloween. I'm like, I need to go back and give this a chance.
Mm.
And I did. And I was actually kind of disappointed, if I'm being honest. It wasn't as hardcore as I'd imagined it to be.
Well,
so
much,
it was kind of
yeah.
tame when you go back and watch it from a more modern point of view.
It's much more of a 70s horror flick.
For
which
sure.
is a theater of the imagination. Pre-gore.
Yes, I was disappointed in the lack of gore. I've come to appreciate it now, but my first viewing, I was like, why does Kevin Williamson and Randy from Scream love this movie so much? I don't get it.
But see, that's a great point, and it's interesting. So I remember being at my grandpa's house. I think my parents were on vacation somewhere, and I was staying with my grandpa and my aunt, because my aunt lived still at her house, my Auntie Joan. And I would just hang out downstairs and watch TV, which is creepy because it was a downstairs creepy basement. It was just creepy. But they would do this in Canada, and especially in Winnipeg, when a movie came out, they wouldn't so much show a trailer. They would show like a minute long clip of the movie. And actually, the movie had already come out. So this is probably like 1980, but they were showing it on TV. That's what it was.
Okay.
So instead of showing like, you know, this week on Friday night, it's Halloween, they would show like a minute or a minute and a half clip of the movie. And at the end of it, they'd say this Friday, Halloween. And
oh,
they showed,
like a tease from just
like a
the
tease,
movie.
Yeah, but just a clip
wow.
of it. And they showed the scene right near the beginning where I think the nurse pulls up to the Haddonfield penitentiary or whatever, and he runs over the car, like it's raining, and he's like tuk, 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 like he runs over the car and then smashes like window. And I remember seeing this just freaking out. Like, this is the most
wow.
terrifying thing. And you watch it back, it's a very subtle scene. But just that there alone was like, this movie's going to be so scary.
Aw.
You know?
And was it when you watched it?
It probably was, because once again, like, I didn't watch something go back to it. Like, I watched it as it kind of went on a few years later. But I also remember, so Halloween's first, but I found it about the same time as Friday 13th, which I'll tell you in a second. How did you hear about Friday 13th as a series?
Huh, that I can't remember exactly how I first learned about it. I have two vivid memories of being aware of Friday the 13th, which is one, my dad was watching part 2. Like, I don't remember how little I was, but I was like, that's the scariest thing that ever happened,
yeah.
ever. But Part 4 was actually the first horror movie I ever watched all the way through. So I went, because I had a crush on Corey Feldman, wanted to watch everything he'd ever been in, and that was the last thing left. So I was like, I have to be brave and watch Friday the 13th to see if he lives or not.
It's not licensed to drive, but...
Exactly. It's like, am I ready for this as a 9-year-old or whatever the heck I was when I was researching Corey Feldman? But I made it all the way through and just was so proud of myself. It's like, I got past Jason and there were boobs and this is the greatest thing that ever happened. Why am I not watching more of this? So those are my two Friday memories.
So I remember like I used to watch At the Movies every Sunday or Saturday. That was Gene Siskel and Roger
Ebert. Okay.
And like,
they hate horror.
But they hate horror, right. But I would watch all of these things. I remember like Fitzcarraldo and all these Klaus Kinski movies and like all of this stuff, like the Nosferatu remake and, you know, Werner Herzog. And then finally they were talking about 2. And I think they kind of liked that one. And they would show like clips. Like I remember like the Pitchfork, there might have been 3 at this point, but the Pitchfork death and all this stuff. Watching it by myself when I was old and to kind of babysit myself, like, what am I watching this for? But prior to that, I used to be really into horror movies and special effects. And for Christmas, once again, the aforementioned Annie Joan, who's still with us to this day, she bought me a special effects book where it showed the gag. It might have been a Tom Savini, early Tom Savini book, where it showed the gag of how Kevin Bacon dies in 1 with the arrow through the back of his head as he's lying in bed. And it talked about like having the tube and the hose and how they kind of covered it up with fake flesh. And I think there was
don't even, ruin it. He actually died.
Spoiler alert. But kind of like just then there's the pump and you pump the blood out. And I remember just like, I really want to see this movie.
I'm Tom McLaughlin. John Carpenter's original Halloween is the best movie of the genre, period. But Friday the 13th is the best franchise, simply because Paramount was crazy enough to let me write and direct Part 6. And by stealing Dr. Frankenstein's method to resurrect the dead, now Jason and his franchise lives on. You can't kill what's already dead.
All right, before the Talk is Jericho, Halloween versus the Friday the 13th franchise debate continues. Let's hear Anthrax and Pantera drummer Charlie Benanti's pick.
I was always more a Halloween fan. What John Carpenter did in the first movie was just creepy, and Michael Myers was just pure evil, as Dr. Loomis says in the movie. He was just the boogeyman. And then Friday the 13th, I mean, I never got into it at all, actually. The slasher genre for me was just, I don't know, it was like hit or miss, killing kids and stuff like that. It was just like, I don't know, I thought most of it was kind of cheesy, so the Jason thing, it just never appealed to me. I was always more Halloween, Michael Myers, and that's it.
Well, let's talk about the movies themselves. So Halloween, obviously John Carpenter classic, came out October 25th, 1978, very apropos. And Friday the 13th, Sean Cunningham, who also did A Christmas Story, which is hilarious. That came out May 9th, 1980. So you're looking at about a year and a half of a difference between the two. Let's talk about the movies. So they're both very kind of primitive. We mentioned the Halloween's obviously amazing, but it's still a very primitive horror movie as far as budget-wise and all that sort of thing.
It's true. It's really basic, but still very effective.
Right. And I think, once again, based on Jamie Lee Curtis, maybe one of the first final girls of all time.
Definitely one of, for sure.
And then kind of the whole story, like we mentioned before with Michael and sort of thing. Let's talk about your favorite moments in Halloween 1, the moments that stand out.
The very first one I remember is the Bob the Ghost scene.
Now, just to explain, we're assuming everybody's seen these, but in case you haven't, or to refresh your memory, give us the Bob the Ghost scene.
Basically, Bob leaves and Michael Myers comes back. He kills him
amazingly
well, hangs him on the wall. Amazing kill.
Which becomes kind of a trope within the series of hanging someone to the wall.
Which is actually how they killed me in my deleted scene. I was like, I'm following Bob's lead. This is amazing. And then they cut it. You bastards.
Segue. There was only one of us who's been in a Friday or Halloween.
I've been in both, kind of.
Well, you were in a fan film Friday, but you were actually in Halloween Ends.
Yes,
I was. What was your name in that?
Well, my name was Susan, but since it got deleted, I'm Radio Receptionist.
Radio Receptionist, right. But you actually were in the movie. You have a line.
Yes, they did kill me, so I know the secrets of how Bob got got held to the wall.
So, tell us how they did it.
Well, I don't know how to phrase it in a polite way. It was a harness around my groin. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Right, nice word.
That was, I hung by for like hours or whatever while and just had to be limp. Ooh. And look like I was dead while they put like a serrated, what are these things called?
Like a belt? Like a
kind of like a belt under my clothes so that the pole that he stuck me to the wall with was poking out.
Oh, I see. So kind of a like a apparatus or an appliance.
Yes.
An appliance.
Yes, which I can post and show you. I took a picture of that, but then they didn't. But anyway.
So that's how they would probably did Bob. Bob goes downstairs for a beer. Is he with PJ Souls?
Yeah.
He's with the great PJ Souls.
They have anything sex. You like?
Yeah. And you see her boobs.
Yes. So that adds to it.
Yeah.
And he's just oddly such an odd choice. Michael Myers is tricking her with like a sheet over himself and Bob's glasses. She's doing this. See anything you like? Boob flash to Michael Myers as a random nerd goes, which I just think is amazing.
And then, of course, he goes and kills her. Well.
Yes. Spoilers.
I love, all spoiler alerts are done.
So much spoilers.
When I watched that movie with my daughters when they were getting super into horror, they still are traumatized to this day. Still so sad about Lenny.
Doggy.
The dog.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was hilarious. Like, no, Dad, it was Lenny. They were so sad about Lenny the dog. And then I showed them The Thing, and they were like, who is this John Carpenter? Why does he hate dogs so much?
Fair.
But yeah, that's the thing. Like, in the 70s, these guys would kill dogs.
I know.
They didn't care. You know, and there's quite a few canine casualties in these movies, but that was one that would stand out as well.
I know people get upset about that, but I think it adds to how scary and ruthless they seem.
Yeah.
If they kill an innocent dog, then what won't they do, you know?
Yeah, so, you know, humans are one thing, but you kill an animal, like, this, now you're real sick.
Exactly. That's how I see it anyway.
Real sick, yeah. Also love a lot of the stuff in Halloween where, with the little kids that Laurie's babysitting, there's one scene where they're running across the street. And Michael's stalking them. And I think, I can't remember exactly, but they're trying to get the key in the door, knocking on the door, let us in. And like, just as the door opens, they get in right behind clothes. Like, those sort of suspenseful scenes, like, they're a dime a dozen now. But in that movie specifically, it's pretty crazy, like, how suspenseful that is.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like her in the closet.
Biting him off with the hangers. Yeah.
And just, like, hoping he doesn't open the door, and then he does, and... You know, just all those little things, like the classic, you know, Undertaker sit up that he,
yes, did right? He took it from that, didn't he?
Yeah, Torsten did, yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing. You know, that's so cool, though.
Yeah. I think overall, to me, probably the best horror movie of all time, other than The Thing. Like, it's right up there. Of course, with the amazing Donald Pleasance, who we're going to get into here.
Please, sir.
So Donald Pleasance talks like he's shaking, almost like, he talks like Martin Short imitating Katharine Hepburn. He's pure evil. You can't kill him. He will come back again and again to extract his vengeance on Haddonfield. I just envision Martin Short playing Katharine Hepburn via Donald Pleasance, you know?
I mean, you very much sound like that. I don't know how much you sound like Donald Pleasance, but definitely the Katharine Hepburn thing.
The Katharine Hepburn. And Donald Pleasance's name is, what's his name in this movie?
Dr. Loomis.
Loomis, that's right, yeah. So Loomis is the psychiatrist who's kind of been watching Michael his whole life. And Michael is now old enough to escape, to go back to Haddonfield, to try and kill his other sister, who's Laurie Strode, which, of course, is Jamie Lee Curtis.
We don't know that yet. We don't know why. Determined.
Do we find out?
Oh, we gotta stop saying spoilers, because it's all spoilers.
Do we find out at the end of the movie that they're sisters?
No, I don't think we find out until 2. Oh,
okay. Because isn't there a scene where the gravestone is actually in the bedroom?
That's Judith.
Oh, Judith. That's
his sister. Yeah,
exactly. So Halloween 1 ends with Michael getting shot 6 times, getting knocked off the balcony. And, of course, Laurie is super freaked out that the boogeyman. And Loomis walks over the balcony. And, of course, Michael has vanished. Is this one of the first examples of the killer gets shot and then disappears?
I think it must be, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Great poster for this even. Looks like
A
Halloween album cover. Of course, with the tagline, "The Night He Came Home," which is cool, which would probably entice people to think that the guy had a Halloween pumpkin mask.
I think that would be a much cooler mask than the William Shatner.
Let's talk about the one that he had. Next to William Shatner. What are you talking about?
William Shatner from The Devil's Reign. They used the mask from that or the mold of his face or whatever it was and spray painted it white.
I was always under the assumption, and this is probably wrong, as you just said, that they went to a hardware store and found like a Captain Kirk mask.
No, see, that was the story I'd always heard until, not even a subtle plug, but Joe Bob on our Devil's Brain episode.
Right. He mentioned that.
He broke the news that it was the casting or the mask that was in that movie, William Shatner, though.
So it was like lying around like in a special effects house.
So somewhere. They're just like, let's use this.
Oh, wow. Because you can see, and for the few of you listening who don't know this, when you look at his face, it's so William Shatner.
It's so William Shatner. It's hard not to see it.
It's hard not to see it. Exactly.
And of course, we have to hear where the very nice, very evil Danhausen stands. Which gets cursed, Halloween or Friday the 13th?
All right. I've been tasked with the duty of deciding if Halloween franchise is better than Friday the 13th. Now I shall go on a rant. If I think Jason with his hockey mask is quite evil, very nice, very evil, maybe he has more of the watchable movies, but Michael Myers in the first Halloween with John Carpenter has the best of both franchises, which is the first movie, and also, you know, there's a bit of a controversy of some sort where Halloween 3 is frowned upon because it doesn't have Michael Myers, but I'm going to say it here. That movie is better than most of the sequels, if not all of the sequels, with Michael Myers. So, love Halloween 3 or be cursed. I think Halloween, even just the singular movie, takes the lead and wins. So, more watchable Friday the 13th, but Halloween is better than all of them.
Hey guys, Lar Park Lincoln here, Tina, Friday 7. You don't have to wait until Halloween to get murdered by Jason. It can happen on any day. We don't have any parents or camp counselors hanging around bothering you. We have really good yard equipment that works without batteries or electricity in the middle of the forest. And also, when you think about it, who has powers like Tina? I mean, seriously, did Jamie throw a couch across the room just by using the powers of her mind? I think that settles it. Friday the 13th is definitely better than Halloween.
It's Halloween versus Friday the 13th on the 4th annual Talk is Jericho Halloween Spectacular with Darcy from The Last Drive-In. And before we continue on with our debate, let's hear who and which Spencer Charnas from Ice Nine Kills picks.
For me, Halloween was the first slasher I ever saw. And I don't think anyone can contest that without Michael Myers and Halloween, Friday the 13th would not exist. The creators of Friday the 13th, Victor Miller and Sean Cunningham, have talked about at length how after the success of Halloween, they said, okay, Halloween is killing at the box office. Let's rip it off. And that's sort of keeping it real. But for me, I can't really choose between the two. It's like picking a favorite toe. You know, there are certain strengths and weaknesses of both franchises. But for me, you know, Donald Pleasance and Dr. Loomis is sort of that glue that really keeps the Halloween franchise together, at least through, you know, 1 through 6, with the exception of 3, of course, because it's not about Michael Myers. But I think Halloween sort of edges out solely because of Donald Pleasance and Dr. Loomis.
All right, so let's go to Friday the 13th, the original. This, of course, like I said, starts in the 50s with the camp counselors are fornicating, not paying attention. Jason Voorhees drowns in the lake. This is more of kind of a murder mystery than anything, isn't it? Like, in Halloween, we know who the killer is, but Friday, we really don't, right?
Yeah, it's definitely what's going on, who's doing this. And a lot of people consider it the best of the Friday series because it does have that murder mystery element instead of just Jason kills. It's like, what's happening?
A little bit more creative type of a thing.
Yeah, more of an actual story, some would say.
let me just say one thing, too, to compare the budgets here. Halloween was $300 million, made $70 million at the box office. Friday the 13th, $500,000, made $60 million at the box office. So these are very low-budget movies.
Really? I thought it was even lower than that.
Well, I guess, especially for 1980, $500,000 is not that bad.
Yeah, I know. I feel like those are not correct stats. We need to do some research.
Shall we talk about some of your favorite moments from Friday the original?
Sure.
And the poster from that one is they were warned, they are doomed, And on Friday the 13th, nothing will save them.
Intriguing.
Very intriguing.
Right? So what is your standout moment from Friday 1? I mean, we mentioned Kevin Bacon.
I think Kevin Bacon is probably the paramount kill because it's Kevin Bacon. Mm-hmm. I think this was like typical.
It's a great kill anyway.
It's a great kill. And the fact that it's Kevin Bacon, you're like, oh my God, like that's Kevin Bacon.
Don't they do a Katharine Hepburn impression in this? That one chick when she's looking in the mirror, I guess she was doing her Dr. Loomis impression.
Jason is here tonight.
Oh my God.
He's pure evil. Evil.
That's what Russell Loomis does. He pronounces it evil. Yeah, I think the Kevin Bacon is kind of the biggest kill because it's Kevin. Similar to Friday where it's Johnny Depp because it's just you never expected these guys to get this big at this time. And you could just see it too. Like Kevin comes on the screen, like he just exudes like
coolness.
Yeah, and you know,
the it factor.
Machismo and charisma and all that sort of thing. So I like obviously that one. How about you?
Well, the biggest scene to me, it has to be the finale, mm-hmm. the decapitation of Mrs. Voorhees.
Mm.
It's amazing to watch. It never gets old.
Right.
And she's just like her reveal as being crazy and just being like, Jason was my son and today was his birthday. And she's just in her own little world.
She gets crazier and crazier mm-hmm. until she reveals that she's the killer, right?
Yes. And then Alice, another great final girl.
Yep.
Decapitates the crap out of her.
it reminded me of what we were talking from the Sleepaway Camp 2 podcast when Angela cuts off Sean's head, just comes out
yeah.
of the room, bam, thocks it down.
I love a good decapitation.
Yeah, me too. And
that's a good one.
And Betsy Palmer is the actress who plays Jason's mom. Complete insanity is really well done.
So well done. She sells that.
Yeah. And once again, you've got Adrian King. Who I didn't even have to Google, I know that.
good for you.
Which at one time I did some con in Indianapolis, whatever it's called, and they gave me a ride to the airport with her. She was really nice.
Wow, that's
amazing. Yeah, she was really cool. Once again, just that scene is so iconic. And then also as well, the final ending of Friday the 13th, which of course.
Surprise jump scare thing.
Jump scare, right?
Yeah.
Going back to watching.
The first appearance of Jason, if you haven't seen Jason. That.
Watching again with my daughters, they flipped out. And I was like, you guys watch Dead Meat James, you watch all the kills, you've never seen this before. Like, doesn't matter what age you are or how many years pass, like that's, you know, this thing is, gosh, almost 45 years old. People still freak out at that last scene because it's so calm and she finally mm-hmm. makes it and all that stuff. And then, of course, here comes Jason out of the water, which has created a whole career for Ari Lehman.
I know. That's what I cannot think of him. First Jason, shout out.
We just talked about that the other day, about he had a career for the rest of his life from that one still.
Dude, amazing.
That's all it
More
takes.
More power to you.
That's all it takes. So both of these movies obviously were successful, probably caused a lot of a stir because there were killer movies when there was no killer movies. And both of them led to sequels.
Wait.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Before we move on, yes, you mentioned the dog. Something that I don't understand why people don't talk more about is that they kill a snake in that. And they like really
kill a snake in
part one of Friday.
Oh, wow.
I feel like all the animal cruelty people are overlooking this, but it's fine. Like stuff happened back in the day, but I can't watch that scene.
Is they find the snake in the camp or something?
Yeah.
Or?
And it's supposed to be a good thing that he chops him up, but it's graphic and hard to watch to me.
I know a lot of people that are very much against killing snakes for no apparent reason.
R.I.P. snake.
Yeah.
Now you can move on.
All right. So we go to the next installment of the series here, which of course is aptly named part two in both cases.
yes. Very apt.
Very aptly named. So Halloween 2 is now released October 30th, 1981. So it's just about a year later, which is not a long time to make a movie.
October 30th. Wow.
Yeah. And May 1st. So now these movies are now coming out on an annual basis, much like Saw used to be or Paranormal Activity and that sort of thing. Let's talk about 2 of Friday the 13th. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that it's one of the best in the franchise. Mm-hmm. Some people don't love that it's not Jason's iconic mask yet, but I love Sackhead Jason.
Sackhead Jason. That's true because he's got kind of like the one eye and the burlap sack over his head. But I do remember in the glory days of Fangoria, that was a cover of Mrs. Voorhees' head in the fridge.
Yeah. That was so scary. That's the thing that traumatized me when I walked in and saw it when my dad was watching it.
So for me, Friday the 13th Part 2 This is the advent now of the video age, VCRs, and you go to the video store. And for some reason, did I buy a copy? Did I steal one? But I had, maybe I was able to dub it. You would record one or the other. I can remember having people over all the time to watch Friday the 13th Part 2. Like being like maybe in grade 7 or 8 or whatever grade it was. And like having like-
Specifically Part 2?
Part 2, like having girls come over to watch. There was a girl called Crystal McDonald. I didn't know what to do. Like, you want to come over and watch Friday the 13th Part 2? And then, you know, with like 10 other people watching, but it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting in the same room as Crystal McDonald watching a movie in my basement. Mom was like, who's over? It's like, some girls. What are you guys doing? Watching Friday the 13th Part 2. Well, that's romantic.
Well, it is. It's a great date.
Yeah, exactly. A great date. But I remember that one specifically because I watched it so many times over and over and over again. Two continues the theme of the campers and the counselors. And this is where you start realizing that most Fridays kind of have a similar vibe to it. It's just different characters and, you know, groups and all that sort of thing. Let's talk about some of the highlights of two. Like, obviously, to me, one of the saddest deaths in the franchise.
The saddest, honestly. That or Joey in Part 5.
Oh, poor Joey.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name? I don't remember his name.
Mark, I think.
Mark, right.
Wheelchair dude.
Mark's in a wheelchair. You've seen it, you know exactly what's going on. He gets the machete in his head.
He was such a sweet little dude, and he just wanted to get laid. And he was so excited, and then Jason had to ruin everything.
Was he going
to
get laid?
Oh, yeah. She went to change into her brown panties, man. Mm. And then she got killed. He got killed and fell down the stairs.
Pouring rain.
Yep. Such a sad moment.
Hits him with the machete and then pushes the poor guy in the wheelchair down the steps. So it's just like,
it's so sad. Heartbreaking. And that actor died of AIDS in real life, which kind of adds to it. Because he was already dead by the time I'd seen it, you know? So it's hard not to mesh that.
I remember when I watched this just recently, I looked him up and I was like, man, he had a tough...
He did. There's a good documentary about him. Really? Somewhere, yeah.
Definitely. Do you remember his name? His name is Tom McBride.
Yeah. If you Google, you'll find it. It's about him dying of AIDS.
Right. Now, this had... one of my favorite final girls, and Amy Steele.
Yes.
I thought Amy Steele was awesome. She had some real fire. Like, I would be kind of scared of her if I was, you know.
Heck yeah. Right. And she has a genius idea of pretending to be Jason's mom. Yeah. Right. Very clever way to survive.
Right. This is another one of those shock endings where she gets grabbed, but then she wakes up like in an ambulance, right? And we don't know anything about Paul. So, any other kills that you can recall from that? Anything else? Oh, this is a good one. Remember Jeff and Sandra get double speared as they have sex.
Yes. They took the Kevin Bacon thing up a notch.
It's funny because the Scream rules very much come from these movies. Don't do drugs, don't drink, and don't have sex. If you do, you will be killed.
Jason's going to get you, man.
He's just going to get you. Speaking of going to get you, Michael Myers, Halloween 2. Oh, this one's from the people who brought you Halloween. More of the night he came home.
So so this one for sure.
Next.
I just thought it was brilliant that they continued on the same night. That is so smart.
And so Loomis goes to the balcony and Jason's gone, right?
Who's gone?
Sorry, Michael Myers.
I know. Switching is a little difficult.
It's hard. It's weird though too. Like, I feel that Jamie Lee Curtis didn't really want to be in this one because she's really not. I mean, she's in it. Like, she probably filmed all of her scenes like in 2 days.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. And they also gave her a really bad wig to try to match.
Good call.
The first one.
The one that you had on was better on Last Drive-In.
Oh, I don't know about that. But it was comparable, and that's sad.
I'm just looking for any trivia as to why she wasn't on. But maybe, she must have had something else going on or whatever it was. But I find the quality of 2 from Friday is better than 1. I find the quality 2 of Halloween 2, I mean, of course it's not as good as Halloween, but it's not even really close, in my opinion. Thoughts?
It is crazy how different a tone it is from 1 to 2.
It's not directed by John Carpenter. It was written by him and produced by him, but not directed. Could that be enough of a difference?
That's got to be why, for sure.
You know, and of course, Donald Pleasance gets even more shaky. He fell off the balcony. I shot him 6 times.
He goes deeper and deeper the further we go. He goes down the Loomis hole.
A picture of Eve will. Let's talk about some of the best deaths in this one, obviously.
I mean.
What you got?
The hot water thingy, man. Yeah. That's the ultimate. The
hot tub.
Yes.
The hot tub. The guy takes the nurse in the hot tub.
Because you get the boobs and then you get the ultimate melt.
Just burn. Just, like,
yeah,
oh,
man,
terrible.
It's hard to watch.
Is it her face that goes in? Yeah.
Yeah.
He just put. There's a really cool scene too where it's starting to get hot, and the guy gets out to turn the heat down, and as she's sitting in the tub, you see him from behind getting killed.
Yeah, and then it takes her a while to realize mm-hmm. that it's not the dude.
Right, he comes from behind, right? Like he's caressing her or something like that. Yeah. You'd think you would sense a change in the vibe. One of the worst deaths.
I was going to say, it's like they go from that to like the dude slipping on blood. Oops, I died. Like,
and this is a guy that I've seen many times. His name was Lance Guest. He's that guy. Like, he's in so many of those movies. Like, he was in The Last Starfighter, and he was in Jaws the Revenge, and he was in, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and blah, 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 blah. But after this great death, like you mentioned, in the hot tub, he's walking through. And I guess Michael has has dripped somebody dry with an intravenous, right? So there's just this big giant puddle of blood.
Yeah.
Which being drained of your blood would be a pretty shitty death. You know?
It would suck, yeah.
Like, it would be a bad, but an embarrassing death is the guy walks in, he slips on a puddle of the blood, lands and hits his head, and he's dead.
Yep.
The end.
Pretty weak. That's not how you want to go out.
So how does two leave? Is that when he blows up the hospital or something?
Yes. Right.
And then once again, though, he burns alive, but then Laurie watches him walk through the fire before collapsing.
And a little bit of trivia, I think it's Dana Carvey's first movie.
Really?
Yeah. Double check that. But he was an extra in it. It's got to be one of the first
Dana
things.
Dana Carvey is Barry McNichol. What did he do in that?
He was like an ambulance dude or something.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious.
Or he was there when the ambulance was there, whatever.
I would have said this is Spinal Tap is his first movie, but you're right. Halloween 2 trumps it by a couple years. So very good. He's assistant Barry McNichol.
There you go.
Usually guys that far down the list don't get two names.
It's like Susan, the radio receptionist.
Hey, this is Rich Ward, the guitar player from Fozzy. And in a head-to-head battle between Friday the 13th and the Halloween franchise, for me, it's always going to be Halloween. And it comes down to the difference makers, Laurie Strode and Dr. Loomis. Jason is just a guy. He's a killing machine. And it's a location and a bunch of campers just for him to kill. Whereas Halloween, you've got storylines that run through all the movies and important characters that you're rooting for. The nemesis against Michael. So you got to give it up for Halloween. At least I do.
Hi, it's Larry Zerner, Shelley from Friday the 13th Part 3. I've been asked to opine on which series is better, Halloween or Friday the 13th. Well, there's only one answer. One series has a f***ed up William Shatner mask, and one series has Shelley's hockey mask. That's the better series. So, case closed.
All right, so now things take a little bit of a twist here, where we go in both cases, because Friday goes into the amazing 80s trend of any movie that had a 3.
3D!
Right?
Yeah.
Jaws 3D, and you know, Friday the 13th Part 3D. But let's go to the other side, though. Let's go back to Halloween 3,
okay.
Season of the Witch, and explain kind of what's going on here.
Whew, so different. Such a turn, and people just will not let it go.
it's a Halloween movie with no Michael Myers, and that's a deal breaker for most people.
Although
right?
Some people are going to argue and say he is in the movie because they show a commercial for the original Halloween in the movie.
Right.
So it's like he does exist in that world.
Okay, but you know, that's nitpicking.
It is nitpicking, but you have to mention it or people get angry.
Okay.
Trust me.
Because, yeah, you've been fighting this fight for years.
Yes. So the original idea was for it to completely change tones, the Halloween series, and be a different story centered around Halloween every year. So kind of an
like
anthology.
An anthology.
Yeah.
Like a full-length movie anthology.
Yes.
Right.
Which I think is a brilliant idea, and I would have loved that. But I do understand that if they were going to do that, they should have done it starting with the second one, because now people are like, we want another Michael Myers movie.
Right.
What the crap is this? Mm-hmm. You know?
And this is, yeah, this is still produced by Carpenter. So, you know, he was behind it, but,
yeah, he really just hated the idea of people cheering for Michael Myers. Like, he didn't want to keep making him,
which I can
like
totally,
a hero.
I can totally get, cause I always say this, you know, people have heard me say this for years, is that the greatest heels always turn babyface. Like, if you want to get over as a good guy, you gotta be a bad guy first. And every one of these killers, they become way more interesting than the dumb campers that or whoever it is that you always end up cheering for them.
I don't understand that because I empathize so much with the campers or whoever. I never cheer for the people, but I get it. I get that some people would.
If you look at Elm Street, like Freddie becomes way more entertaining than anybody else.
I'm not rooting for Freddie. Come on, Dream Warriors, you can make it through this.
Well, you're the holdout. So, but I do appreciate Carpenter as a true artiste, not wanting this evil creature from hell.
Evil creature from hell that he created to be cheered by the masses.
Well, but it's whoever created the druids from Stonehenge are now creating these evil masks that are going to blow up kids' heads and make them hatch insects. And they do that via TV with weird, crazy Halloween masks. And that's what happens. These kids put on these masks and then the TV crew comes on and their heads just melt.
Yeah.
And then for some
and how
reason,
how baller is that?
And centipedes and roaches come out of their heads. And it's just like, okay. And then there's android robots.
Exactly. And, how do you explain this?
It's you know,
just watch it. It's great.
It's a tough watch, though.
No, it's great. A tough watch. Why?
Because it doesn't make sense. Why?
It doesn't have to make sense. It's just great.
I understand. But why are the robots in there?
The magic. We had Tommy Lee Wallace on the show during the second Jamboree to talk about it. And basically his answer to everything was magic. So the novelization of Halloween 3 says that the bugs coming out are like the mask open a portal to a different dimension.
Okay.
And so it's coming out.
That's fine.
That way. I'll take it.
I'll take it.
That's magic.
Well,
that's
what my point is, though, is why is there android robots?
You know, why wouldn't there be?
Yes, you do.
No, it's just their plot to like take over the world. The like druid people.
The druids?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So anyway, so it leads to this big, huge culmination of Tom Atkins running to the three.
So much
stations.
Running.
Because back then, too, there was only three stations, right? Like we can tell NBC, CBS, and NBC, or CBC if you're in Canada, which you were not. So he goes and he calls ABC, and ABC turns off the transmission.
I know he just says stop, and they're like, okay.
Yeah. And he calls NBC, and they turn it off. And then he calls
sir.
ABC, and they're like, stop it, no. Because if he doesn't stop it, all the kids' heads will explode.
That is what drew me to it. They literally kill
kids.
Bunches of kids.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. That takes so much balls.
Well, yeah, but people did not want to see it, even though it was not exactly a bomb. It did. Oh my gosh, look at the difference in budget between Friday and this. This one had a $4.5 million budget and made $14.5 million. That's not a bad return. They made money off this, but I'm sure a lot of it was people showing up thinking it was gonna be Michael Myers.
I know, it's true. And Tommy Lee Wallace and the whole cast actually talked about how they were kind of sad and that people didn't like it for the longest time. So now they're just so happy to see that something that meant so much to them is getting the love.
Well, you know, there's a Motley Crue record from 94 that is John Corabi on vocals. It's called Motley Crue after Vince Neil quit. People hated it. If you would have called it The Crew and just listened to the album, it is a fucking great record. It's one of my favorite Motley Crue albums. Doesn't sound anything like Motley Crue, but it is a great record. If this movie was just called Season of the Witch, I bet you would have a completely different fate, shall we say. But one last thing about this movie, it does have the amazing Halloween opening intro for all their concerts.
Happy, happy Halloween, 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 happy, happy Halloween, tell us Shamrock.
Good job.
But the thing is, they're not saying Halloween, they're saying Halloween, but the way they pronounce it sounds like Halloween. So the very first Halloween album, which is an EP merely called Halloween, the first song is called Starlight, and it features a guy waking up and going through the radio stations. And Billy Joel's Tell Her About It comes on, a couple commercials, then you hear this happy, happy Halloween, and then it says, "Tell Us Shamrock." It's like, wow.
Okay.
So since I was a kid, since before I saw Halloween 3, I knew that theme. I was like, oh, the Halloween theme is oh, wait, no, it's the way around.
Oh, wow, so you knew Halloween first.
Yeah, because I had no idea it was from this movie. And I was like, oh, they didn't put the Halloween theme in Season of the Witch. They put the Season of the Witch theme in Halloween. So there you go.
Interesting.
So you think that probably that movie is getting its due more now, because people can actually accept it for what it is, which is
yes, really because cool people account. Watching it now know what to expect. When gotcha. I first saw it, I knew there was no Michael Myers. Right, so I was fine with it.
Gotcha.
It's the people that, you know, originally watched it that are angry. And now I would like to think they're listening to the new voice of people saying, give it a chance, man.
Okay, so let's go now to Friday 13th, part 3D. Now, this is here where the very first appearance of the Friday
of the mask.
And explain how that comes. What happened with this?
Basically, it's Shelley, who's this nerdy kid who I love so much. He's just an effects guy. And through him, Jason finds his mask.
What he does is he plays pranks on all his friends by like showing up with like, you know, an arrow through his head. He's like, waka waka, and scares them into thinking he's really dead. He actually shows up with a hockey mask, a goalie mask, and then like, well, sorry guys, and then and then he gets killed.
Do you like Shelley?
I always kind of thought he was annoying and kind of got what he deserved.
I thought, got what he deserved.
Well, he can't be.
Oh my God.
He's the boy that's crying wolf.
He's just showing off his effects and being socially awkward.
He's scaring people though.
Okay, but still he deserves to die for that.
Well, I mean, it's a Friday the 13th movie. I mean, come on. If it was a teen comedy, then he deserves attention.
Okay.
But it's not that type of movie, right?
He has that line when somebody asks why didn't you go skinny dipping? And he looks so sad and says, because I'm not skinny enough. So it's like, oh, I'm going to hug him so bad.
What do you say? Because he doesn't want to take his shirt off or something? Or does he say he's fat?
It's basically him saying he's fat and he's ashamed. So he makes up for that with his little tricks.
Yeah. Well, once again, I mean, I'm not saying.
He's one of my favorite characters in the whole series.
And once again, nobody deserves to die. But it's a Friday 13th movie. So that's Shelley's, that's kind of his fate with that. This is also very cool because there's a lot of great effects of the 3D type.
Yes.
Like, let's grab a pitchfork and like poke it in your eyes. Or let's have someone swinging from a barn into your face and back.
Or simple as like passing a joint.
Yeah.
Popcorn's in there. It's like whatever they can do, they did. Let's show off that technology.
With once again a great 3D kill.
Where
it's
the eyeball.
Poor Rick, he's outside. It's a crazy scene. Like he's outside where I think the girl's like, hello Rick, are you out there? And he's right beside the door around the corner getting killed, and she squeezes his head until his eyeball pops out.
Amazing.
Straight into the screen. So
it has my favorite kill of all time.
Let's discuss your favorite kill of all time, because I
think we did. We finally mentioned it in the greatest kills of all time, but let's recap.
Let's recap it again. So tell us what happens.
Andy.
Nice. And Andy
sliced down the middle and he's walking on his hand.
Well, let me just say this. Andy's a little obnoxious. We know the type. You guys know the type. A guy who can walk on
his
hands.
Did he deserve it then?
A guy who has the ability to walk on his hands and just does. For no apparent reason.
He's honing his craft.
All around. And once again, this girl wants a beer. She's going to have a shower. She's going to get a beer by walking on his hands.
He's just trying to, you know, it's peacocky. He's trying to look cool. So you get, again, you get Andy, you get an amazing visual effect with Jason macheting down on him while she's in the shower. But then you combine all of that with the reveal of him in half with like flies.
Yes.
Just flying around his dead corpse and blood dripping onto the Fangoria that she's reading. It's just all around just amazing kill.
I thought she's reading Fangoria, which is cool. And when you see the close-up of the body on the bed, he's like backwards. Like
he's
cut
split in half.
So there's two halves of the guy.
Yes.
So that was really well done.
Right?
But it has another one of my favorite kills of the series, where she sees Jason from across the way. I think she might think it's Shelley. And doesn't Jason shoot like the fucking harpoon or the arrow right into her eye?
Yep.
Just the way that's shot, because it's a total 3D arrow coming right at you, and then it's in her eye.
Yeah, another amazing effect shot.
It's also got an awesome street gang. the thugs who are like the most unintimidating thugs ever. They'll get pitchforked up in the loft, which then ties in this. I think that's how this Jason dies, by getting pushed off the loft into the hay bale spikes or whatever, right?
Yes. And then when Four picks up, it's them at the lofts getting all the dead bodies out.
Wow.
And then taking them to the coroners.
This also has a great homage to the first ending where Chris, who's Dana Kimmel, who I know I've seen her in some of before, I just couldn't find it. She's now on the lake. Is this the one where she sees Jason in the window?
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming down and he walks at the front door and she screams and then he's gone. And so we're lulled back into sleep. And then something else comes out of the water, but it's not Jason. It's Jason's mom.
Yep.
with the big worm sticking out of the eye, which was very, very cool. Quick segue for a story about this. I had this, remember they used to put out like books based on the movie. So my cousin Chad came in from Yorkton, Saskatchewan, represent you, to see the Pope in like 1984, Pope John Paul II. And we would go to this place called Bird's Hill, and there was freaking, I don't know, 100,000 people, whatever there was. And I was like, I did not want to go see the Pope. Like, it's, you know, nothing against the Pope. He's a hip cat, whatever. I remember that.
He's a hip cat.
Yeah. And I remember that my aunt had made applesauce.
Is this Auntie Joan again?
This is my Auntie Bev.
Okay.
Who's Chad's mom. And she made applesauce. So he had applesauce that he brought with him. So I had a jar of applesauce and my Friday the 13th 3 novelization. And I just like, hey, I'm just going to fuck off. And I found a tree and I hung out of the tree and I ate my... There's no cell phones back then. So, of course, my mom was like, where are you? I was like, oh, I was just eating applesauce and reading a book. What book are you reading? You can't read a Friday the 13th part 3 book at the Pope's Mass. And I was like, I just did.
Agree to disagree.
You got any more applesauce?
Wow, I want to find that. I want to read the novelization.
Yeah, they used to do that quite a bit back in those days. But anyway, so yeah.
It's got to still exist somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. So we decided, I think, going back a bit, that Friday 2 is better than Halloween 2, correct?
I think so.
Okay, and I agree. That's what we're just talking.
I know some people, like, for example, Joe Bob, part 2 of Halloween is his favorite on the whole Halloween franchise. Okay. He thinks it's a masterpiece, and some people think that.
To each his own, right?
Agreed to disagree, though, again, because, like, part 2, definitely in that one.
So what do we think of 3 versus 3?
Oh, my God, don't make me choose. I think we have to go Halloween here, though.
See, I give them A for effort and trying something different.
Oh, yeah, you hate it.
I don't hate it. I just said it's a tough watch.
It's a hard watch. Doesn't imply that you like it much.
Yeah, you know, when the androids came in, I was out. But I like the concept of it. I like what they did with it. I like what you did here. But I think 3 of Friday the 13th, because of those kills, the addition of the mask.
Yes.
You know, and just the whole, I just love, once again, the 3D game. I think they go to the bar or something. There's like a magician, like with a yo-yo or something. It's just every cheesy thing you can think of. But yeah, Season of the Witch, if you guys haven't seen it, check it out and judge it for yourself, because I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. It's very inventive, but unfortunately it failed miserably, which is why for Halloween Part 4, it was the return of Michael Myers. Now this one came out 5 years later.
They gave it a rest for a minute.
They gave it a rest. So they were like, you know, calm down, Halloween.
Quit being mad.
And they did. Whereas Jason kept soldiering on. He's the very next year, 1984, for part 4. So I know that I think we can both agree that part 4 is probably the best of these 5 that we're talking about. But let's talk about kind of definitely the most star-studded of the Friday the 13th. You know, between Corey Feldman and Crispin Glover. Peter Barton was a huge star at the time.
He was in a show
called The Powers of Matthew Starr.
Co-starring
Louis Gossett Jr. When I was a kid, around this time frame, he was everywhere. He was in the cover of all the Teen Beat, Tiger Beat, you know, Kids Are People Too. Like, he was like the guy.
No way.
Oh yeah. So when I saw him in that, so I'm like, well, he was probably the biggest name out of all of them at the time, like as a leading man, you know. So tell us about, you said this is your first ever horror movie you saw. Tell us what you like about 4.
How do I summarize? It's my second favorite movie ever. It's
behind
just
screen?
Like, yes. Yeah. It's just, like I said, my introduction to horror movies. And I just think it's just so well done still. I never get tired of watching it. To me, it's the ultimate. The characters are so fleshed out and you care about them mm-hmm. so much. And
I do agree with that. I think this group of campers are the most intriguing. And there's a family element too, because this is the first time we see Tommy Jarvis. Now, who is Tommy Jarvis? Just a kid?
Just a kid. Right. But then he gets this history with Jason because mm-hmm. of the ending here where he, again, tricks Jason a little mind. It has the amazing ending kill where Jason's head is sliding down the machete. Mm-hmm. So those effects are amazing.
Yeah, he cuts his hair.
He shaves his head bald.
To try
not
and
actually
be,
fully understand what he was thinking. He's trying to be him little. I don't know why
Jason.
That
yeah.
messes with his head so much, but it does.
Yeah.
So good for you for figuring that out. It's a bold choice.
And he was just a kid then here too, Corey Feldman, probably 10 years old.
He
was
adorable.
Like that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't know why he would think that would work. But well,
the script told him to. And this, of course, tell us about some of the kills. And so, of course, I remember the
corkscrew
where, yeah, Crispin Glover's Jimmy and they're watching an old school.
Like the old school porn.
They weren't even called, what do they call it? What do you call
stuff? Stag films.
Stag films, yeah. Stag films. So you're actually watching the stag. Is it somebody getting killed behind the screen as the stag is going on, or is it the other way around? What happens? I don't know.
The other way around. Well, Jimmy gets killed first. Right. He's in there trying to get the corkscrew. Well, other dude that actually gets killed while he's watching the stag.
Right.
Teddy.
Does Teddy, how does he get killed watching the stag?
I don't know. He gets stabbed or something.
Does blood go on the screen? There's something like that. Yes, like there's something that happens. Like, oh, that's it. He gets stabbed and you see the blood on the stag or something along those lines.
And it looks very cool. And it's awesome to watch that old school footage.
Of the stag?
Yeah. It's adorable. It's like, oh, that's what porn was.
So this is kind of like, might have been one of the first inductions of the machete. Because this Trish is his sister. Is that
Trish is Tommy's sister.
It's Tommy's sister. So at the end, do they both escape? I can't remember what happens.
Mm-hmm. The mom dies and they get away.
But yeah, Jarvis just goes nuts. He's like, die, just die, die.
Yeah, die, he goes nuts.
He just literally like chops just him up into a dozen pieces. Crazy.
It looks amazing. And Corey's so good in it.
Mm-hmm. Overall, you just like the whole vibe of it. And just the whole...
Yeah, and again, no offense, but great nudity. I love Judy Aronson. Her death is very iconic. She dies in the raft. And now at comic conventions, she reenacts that. She brings the raft to her photo ops.
So she's floating in the raft, and does he come up from the depths, as always?
And yes.
He stabs her through...
The raft, yeah. She dies in the raft.
But from body through raft, not raft through body. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we just saw her at the Jamboree.
Yeah.
So there's, it's a lot, quite a star-studded cast there. Yeah, I remember that there's twins in it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens to the twins? Death.
Okay, one of them definitely gets thrown out the window.
That's it.
Yes. I remember that very well.
Right. This one, very star-studded, critically acclaimed, made big money. $2.2 million budget, $33 million box office. So Jason's high on the hog right now, whereas Michael Myers is stumbling back into port here. I actually saw Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, in the movie theater.
Wow.
In 1988. It came out October of 88. So yeah, I was actually done high school. I was already in college at that point in time.
Were you super excited for The Return of Michael Myers?
We used to go to so many horror movies. There was like a Psycho 2 that came out. Like, it's just like, oh, let's just go. Like, you know, I think at that point in time, Michael Myers was kind of like blasé, but let's give it a try and go. This one is not bad. You guys showed this on Last Drive-In.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some of your thoughts on this flick.
It's the introduction of...
Danielle Harris, who is Jamie Lloyd.
Thank you. I was thinking Jamie, but I'm like, am I confusing out Jamie Lee Curtis right now?
Yeah. That's the way they called her, Jamie, right?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And I never thought of it literally until right now. But anyway, I love that they brought her in. She's like the cutest little kid, and you feel bad for her. And you find out she's Jamie Lee Curtis's orphan daughter.
Right.
It's just a whole twist on the series. Like, they're going in a new direction.
They put some time into this to try and get it back on track. It's interesting because I read something, I was watching this on Amazon, you know, they have those like the trivia, you know, notes or whatever. They made they said there's a real correlation between Tommy Jarvis and Jamie Lloyd. There's a lot of similarities there between the two characters.
You're sending me down the thought hole right now.
Yeah, so anyhow, like you mentioned, she's a little kid. She dressed up as a clown on Halloween, which is what Michael Myers dressed up as well.
Yes.
And then this is just, you know, this is where I think went off on this in the Jamboree. When did Michael
driving thing.
When did Michael Myers get his driver's license?
Okay, people had answers to that for you.
One said that he watched Loomis driving. How many cars have you been in?
That's not fair.
Could you drive?
Michael Myers is smarter than me.
And then someone said, like, yeah, there's all these ridiculous exploits. The guy was in the insane asylum.
In the South, sometimes people learn to drive really young.
But he's driving semi-trucks and stuff. Like, the best part is when Loomis shows up at the gas station and, like, the attendant is dead and Loomis is like, he's gone. He's driving the car. APB. He's got a semi-truck. Stop him now. He's the epitome of evil.
I feel like I'm watching the movie right now.
So we go through. I remember one of the kills I remember was when he kills the worker at the power station by throwing the corpse onto the transformer, which then causes a huge blackout. This is also when the sheriff and the sheriff's daughter is involved. And
Kathleen Kinmont.
Oh, she was fairly hot from what I remember. She was a hot sheriff's daughter. And then, of course.
Cops do it by the book, baby.
That's right. That was the shirt.
Yes.
Did you wear that for your thing? Cops do it by the book.
I did wear that on the show.
And then she dies. And then it's like, he killed your own daughter, for God's sakes. Don't you ever say that. It's kind of crazy, though. So let's go to the end of the line here with this movie. Something's going on here where they show some kind of an insignia of some kind of secret society or something along these lines. We talk more about that in 5, but they're introducing some kind of, like, once again, some kind of a Celtic evil mask-making clan that someone knows something more about Michael than the rest of us do. So this is Michael dies by getting shot down to the mine. As Darlene goes upstairs to run a bath for Jamie, she's attacked. And when Loomis investigates, he finds an emotionless Jamie holding a pair of bloody scissors, wearing a clown costume. Remembers to the Michael. He's like, no.
He sells that so hard. No. He's the most dramatic person ever, and I love him for it.
So do we think that Jamie killed his mom?
Well, we do at that point, yeah. But we now know she didn't.
Spoiler alert, she does not. Right.
But I'm sure at that time when you didn't know that yet, that was probably whoa.
Exactly. So,
and I really think that would have been a cool way to go. They probably didn't want to take a chance after 3.
Yeah, I kind of thought it would have been better if they just would have done that.
Hey, I'm Joe Bob Briggs, and Darcy asked me which franchise is better, Halloween or Friday the 13th. Halloween, I don't know if John Carpenter was just sitting around his house saying, hey, let's make some money on the Halloween series. And so he started handing out rate cards. Hey, want to make a Halloween movie? Give me $500,000. You can make a Halloween movie, because everybody made a Halloween movie and some of them really sucked. And so the story just got all cattywampus. It went in all kinds of different directions. And so it's not really a franchise. It's like 9 franchises. Whereas Friday the 13th is a single franchise. It goes from story to story. I mean, it goes off on tangents. It goes supernatural a lot. But I would say Friday the 13th is a coherent franchise. Therefore, Friday the 13th is the winner.
Hey there, this is Judy Aronson, and I'm gonna say Friday the 13th, but not for the reasons that you think. It's not just because I'm in it, but does Halloween go to great lengths for realism to almost kill their actors for a great death scene, meaning risk the lives of their own actors in order to get a realistic death scene? No, Halloween does not. Friday the 13th does. I was there. It happened to me. Cold night, December, in water from sundown to sun up, freezing cold water, freezing outside. And we had to do what we had to do. I rest my case. Friday the 13th wins.
All right, so here, I like 4, but I might like 5 better. Friday the 13th, 5.
I'm sorry, what?
And Halloween 5.
Oh, wait, Friday the 13th.
Though. Yeah, Friday. Okay. No, Halloween, yes. Halloween 5 is.
I was going to say,
it's a tough watch. It's a tough watch. Let us do the watching for you on that one. I love Friday 5.
I do too.
It's got some of my favorite kills, some of my favorite characters. Once again, watching with my daughters, they love Reggie the Reckless. And we're so, like, terrified for Reggie the Reckless. But let's talk about 5. So, and once again, I like the fact that it was not the same old, same old. And a lot of people don't like the fact in 5 that Jason's not the killer.
Mm, right? Big spoiler. I know.
Hold on, let's see. The movie was...
Okay, I get it. But...
So it starts off, once again, it's almost like a Sleepaway Camp 3, where it's a camp for troubled youths. And it starts off with Joey.
Aww.
You know, it's kind of the next version of Shelley. Like, poor kid, he's just trying to find friends. He goes to help they have chores. He's eating chocolate. And he goes to help them hang the laundry. And the girls get mad at him because he gets chocolate on the laundry.
Aw, Joey.
Yeah, Joey, come on. And then he goes to talk to the other dude.
Vic,
that's it. Vic is cutting wood with his axe. And he approaches him and asks him to
very angrily.
Very angrily. Like, Joey's trying to ask him to help, and he won't let him help. And then he's like, screw you, Vic, because he's got a total New York accent.
Well, that's how you feel.
Yeah, but he's like one of those kind of 30s response. Well, if that's how you feel, here's to ya. Or something like that. Yes. And he walks away, and out of nowhere, it just turns and chops him up with an axe.
It's so sad.
Like a thousand times, and he's screaming, and poor Joey.
He's just trying to give candy away.
He's trying to give candy, maybe a little bit of abrasively. But
okay, but he has issues.
Yeah, exactly. So then ambulance shows up, and some guy's making jokes about this dead kid, and then we see the ambulance driver, Roy. Who is funny because he looks like Speewee's dad, whose name is also Roy. So maybe Speewee
is the real killer.
Could be involved in this. So then once again, the countdown of the campers happens. But there's some great deaths in this. Some
great moments.
Great moments. And the fact that this is Voorhees, right? The girl Voorhees.
No, you mean the boobs.
Yeah. Debbie Sue Voorhees.
Yes. An amazing, iconic death.
I feel we haven't really talked a little about the boobs in the series. There's been some great ones.
I've been the one mentioning it.
The nurse in Halloween 2 has some great boobs. Brought that up. So this one, great boobs in this. It's great because there's some random drifter just kind of hanging out. And he's just looking for a meal. Like there's actually Mother's Day. Ike and Adley's mom is like in the middle of this thing, and she's just the worst, making this terrible stew.
She's so good, though.
She's really good. She must have been a comedian.
She had to be.
So this guy shows up just looking for
a hot meal, ma'am.
So she puts him to work, and then later on, two wayward campers make it out, and they go back to the drifter who's just looking for a hot meal, and then Jason kills him. And then they have sex in the middle of this field, and then he goes to the brook to wash his balls off. And she's sitting there, and she's got some great cleavage going on. Gotta be careful, don't get canceled. She had great boobs, who cares? Yes, she did. And she looks up, closes her eyes, just like, this life is good, opens up and screams. And Jason does the burning.
Yes.
The shears into the eyes, and he goes, which, you know, he then cut her like nose into, and the guy comes back and you see this and it's like, oh, it's so crazy. Great kill. One of my all time favorite kills in the series because of the buildup too with and her name is literally Debbie Sue Voorhees.
And she's one of the most iconic scenes in the whole series.
Yeah, one of the best scenes in the series. Yeah. Which then goes into Reggie the Reckless going to visit his older brother.
Ooh, baby.
Ooh, baby. Yeah,
thank
Ooh,
you.
Baby.
So amazing.
Yeah, he's in the outhouse because he had some bad enchiladas.
Those damn enchiladas.
And so Reggie gets to go, his brother, of course, is Demon because he's a biker. He lives in a van down by the river with his girlfriend. She kind of looks like Michael Jackson's date in Thriller, Thriller video. It might even be the same.
I thought it was.
Probably not. But
it's probably not.
In the bathroom, bad enchiladas, wearing his leather Eddie Murphy delirious outfit. She stops singing, and then the outhouse gets shaken, and then suddenly the spear comes through the wall a bunch of times, and finally ends up killing poor Demon.
Yeah.
Prior to that,
that's a bad way to go.
There's another one where the stud, the coke guy, the bald guy with the mustache, who's got cocaine, who goes to the diner to pick up the girl. Great boobs in that scene as well.
Yeah. See, Debbie Voorhees gets so much attention.
Right.
Justifiably, but there's two other great boob scenes that people don't talk about.
Well, that's a great one.
And that is another one. It's Showtime.
Yeah, it's Showtime. I'm trying to remember what her name was. I don't even know what her name was. Doesn't even matter. But what's the other great boob scene in that one?
After she rejects him at the couch, she goes to the bunk beds and she's just kind of being mad at herself.
Good girl.
Boobs out.
Lots of boobs in this one. Yes, it's Showtime. So that happens. And then, so Reggie the Reckless was played by an actor called Shavar Ross. He was Arnold Jackson's best friend in Different Strokes. Always loved him. He was called Dudley. He was Dudley in Different Strokes. So once again, as soon as you see Dudley in Friday the 35, like, I love this guy. And Reggie, of course, does survive. Spoiler alert. Another great kill, too, is there's these two like bike gang guys. And the guy's like, we got to come on. You got to fix this car. You got to fit this car. So the guy goes to the front of the car. He opens up the hood and he's trying to fix the car. And the guy behind the wheel is singing the song. Better fix this car, motherfucker. You better fix this car, motherfucker. Then it's time to get this car going. Get this thing going. You don't get this thing going, I'm going to kick your ass. Really fucked up this time, asshole. Rat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tooey. Got to get this car running.
I feel like it doesn't go on this long, though.
It does, and it's like, he's the guy that gets the flare gun, the flare in his mouth, which is another Fangoria cover. Yeah, another great death. So to me, This movie's got everything in it. It's got another Tommy Jarvis, kind of a grown-up psycho Tommy Jarvis, which at the end, Pam survives the girl. It's kind of a double ending where he's in the hospital and she goes to see him and the blood glass breaks and he's escaped, but he's really behind her and then he kills her.
Yeah.
And now we think Tommy Jarvis is going to become Jason.
How Danielle Harris and four of them.
Just like we say, how do you think Jamie Lewis, the connection between Tommy Jarvis and Jamie Lewis.
Well, there you go. That's a good point. Let's not mention Violet, though. She's one of the coolest, the robot punk girls.
Oh, she was great.
She was great. Yeah.
She was great.
She was heartbreaking.
I was watching that the other day and thinking, what a great audition she must have had. Because you know that was probably the whole audition.
Just doing the robot.
You got to do the robot. She was so punk. She wore her headphones all the time. And she does this whole great dance routine. Like, you know, like you said, like a robot type dance routine. Total early 80s new wave. And then Jason comes and stabs her, chokes her, kills her. Choose your own adventure. He's got eight deaths most of the time.
All the things.
But yes, she was great. Violet, good call. We really appreciate her fine work in this movie. But yeah, so as we start to wind down, let's finish up here with Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers, which...
Ooh, do we have to, though?
I mean, we can kind of do a quick run through here. This is now... This one's out of control. I told you, this one's a tough watch as well. This is when he's in the mine, and we're trying to find him out of the mine, and then they're going to the house, and like I don't even remember much that happens in this one, because it's very just a very bland.
It is pretty bland. It has a silly cops with their little Keystone music every time they're there.
Great call. Explain that. They make jokes.
Explain
right?
It. Yeah. I don't know.
You just did. Like, they have these two cops that you see that may like...
Oh, you may explain why it exists. I don't know. Why they chose that.
They're worried about Michael Myers and you hear like a boy, waka, waka, waka.
Very strange. Very strange. It's fun. It's good background noise to me, but I don't really... It's not a contender. Let's say that.
I feel that Pleasant showed up on set for 2 days total.
And he's so extra angry. Like, you don't like him in this.
He's really Katharine Hepburn too. He fell down the mine and you'll never find him. He's evil. Yeah. He's evil. It's your fault.
Lunas,
the sheriff's, it's your fault. And then I just have to mention this because I have no idea. I refuse to watch 6 to figure out. There's, once again, this Celtic druid society that once they finally capture Jason, pulls a Terminator 1 and shoots up the entire police station. Oh, sorry, Michael Myers. You guys know what I'm talking about. And shoots up the entire police station to basically free Michael Myers because he's part of this Celtic organization. This is when you're like, these guys are just out of control. No, they don't know what
to do. But 6 brought us Paul Rudd. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, but we're not talking 6, you know? I mean, we're talking 5.
Okay.
You know, because like we said, Friday the 13th, 6 is great. Darcy DeMoss and all the great deaths in that one. Paintball players and all that sort of stuff. But like I said, to me, I feel that when they did 4, it did some really good numbers. Like, let's rush out of 5. And they had this kind of two-arc idea. Well, we'll have to make it be part of the secret society. And it's very far away from where we were at the original one.
Very far.
Right?
Yeah. But that's why they kind of rebooted when H2O came out.
They did. Yeah. They did rebooted count.
Which was times. My first Halloween.
To see in the theater? The first one you saw?
First one I ever saw.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is pretty good, y'all. Have you heard of this?
I always get jealous of people like that. Like, I just saw H2O. Have you seen this movie? I'm like, dude, there's like 8 other ones. Like, when I got into Pink Floyd about 10 years ago, I was like, dude, Pink Floyd's awesome. Like, Animals is great. It's like, you know that, like, Animals is their last record. I'm like, yeah, I know. Have you listened to any of those? Well, I've heard the songs on the radio. No, go listen to the records. You're just, like, blown away by, like, this great band that I've never really got into. But you can just binge watch the whole catalog, right? Or listen, I guess, in that case. That leads us to, I mean, so 4, Friday 4, I think we can agree is better than Halloween 4. Friday 5, I think we can agree is better than Halloween 5. So let's go.
So who wins then?
I think let's kind of discuss the last few questions here.
As we
start to wind down. Sure. Let's discuss kind of Halloween versus Friday. In your opinion, both iconic. We agree both changed the course of horror history. Which one is the better franchise for you and why?
I'm a Friday girl. Yeah. I love Jason. He's the best killer to me. Mm-hmm. The Friday series is just more fun, in my opinion, which is a big factor to me, as we've established. Has just more creative kills, better boobage. I care more about Jason, whereas Michael Myers just kind of makes me yawn, you know? No offense, sorry. I just feel like it's just a lot more fun. And I love anything in a summer camp, too. That adds a lot to it. I love that setting.
Well, once again, that spawned probably hundreds of summer camp movies.
Thank you.
Including the best of all that we did a podcast specifically on, you know.
See if we can. Summer
Camp 2. Yeah, exactly. So I think to me, once again, I agree with you. Fridays is the more fun series. It's the one that has different killers, though. Mrs. Voorhees in one. It's Jason in 2, 3, and 4, but it's Roy in 5. Whereas Michael Myers is the killer in all of them.
Except
for Season of the Witch, where there isn't Michael
Myers. Right, so that's only one extra.
I find that there's a lot more you can do with the Fridays. When you go into the suburban area and the houses, it just seems a little the same.
Too claustrophobic.
Too claustrophobic, yeah. And like... Then
because woods are so wide open.
Right, and Jason can walk in the woods, whereas, like, and once again, I'm not stuck on this, but then Michael Myers has to drive. So he should never drive.
You are so stuck on
it.
How do you feel like shorts on planes?
That's the next podcast. But once again, I mean, I think Halloween is the best out of all 10 that we discussed. The first Halloween. But other than that, I think all the other Fridays are probably better than the Halloweens. Although 2 you can make a case for. I know you love 3.
You gave it to 3.
Yeah, that's true. I know you love 3. I didn't get Halloween 3 over 4.
Oh, wait.
3.
I did.
I think, once again, it all depends on what you like. I bet you when we ask some people, we'll ask some of our friends which ones they think are better. I think a lot of people probably go with Halloween because they might not have seen the other ones.
Oh, do you want me to check the poll I posted?
So you posted a poll on Twitter.
Only about an hour or so ago. So we'll see how much response we've gotten.
Right. You have 1,726 responses as of right now. Halloween, 51%. Friday, 49%.
Wow, that's so close.
So there's a lot. So we can go through a few of these and read them out later on. And we'll get some of our celebrity friends to tell us which one they like better. But overall, I think we can both agree right here that Friday is the better
one. Is the winner?
Is the winner.
Yay, I wasn't expecting that from you.
No. Friday's the winner of the franchise. Halloween's the best out of the 10 that we discussed.
I think 4 Friday is. Okay. Final chapter.
Well, I will go with Halloween 1 over that one.
Wow.
So
I'll allow you to.
there you go. What another annual Halloween. We got to think of a great subject matter for next year.
Happy Friday the 13th / Halloween.
Yes, exactly. Parascomitocatrophobia.